Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. This is our podcast, and it is out there forever for you to listen to, and I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Today, I've got the most exciting show. We're going to go everywhere from Japanese quilting to goals to details to outer space in this particular show, and I'm really, really excited. So let's start off with Japanese quilts. For me, they are just the epitome. I just love the quilts that Japanese makers make. And when I see them, they just make my heart pound. It's like, oh my gosh. And so I was really lucky to meet Priscilla Noble, who is publishing some of Yoko Sato's books now in English so that we can read them a little bit more efficiently than in the Japanese versions. And so I asked her to come on here and tell me how she's doing that and what her background is. It's totally fascinating. Hi, Priscilla. How are you?
I'm great, Pat. Thanks.
You know, we chatted a few months ago. And I, you know, you had your books, and I was like, this is so exciting that you're publishing these books. Tell me a little bit about how you yourself got into quilt making, because you're a quilt maker.
I am a quilt maker, and thanks for having me. Yeah, I was very excited when you stopped by my booth. I've been sewing since I was about 4 or 5. My mom bought me a toy sewing machine, but it actually did work. And I would make things for my dolls, et cetera. And by the time I was in 5th grade, I had sort of taken over her Singer Featherweight sewing machine and made things all throughout, you know, high school and college. But I was born and raised in Japan, and it wasn't until I went to the States for college or came here for college that I was really exposed to quilting. And then in my 20s, I began working in a quilt shop part-time, and that's really when my love of quilting took off. So it's been about 30 years.
I know. Entering that quilt shop is like heaven, isn't it, Priscilla?
That's amazing. Yeah.
I think that's where my love of color,
you know, and fabric. Yes, exactly.
Now, because you were actually raised in Japan and you're fluent in Japanese, right?
I am. So I was, you know, born in Tokyo, actually, and raised when I was younger in a small village on the foot of Mount Fuji, which I think a lot of you have heard of. And so we spoke English in the house because my parents didn't want us to speak English with a Japanese accent, as that had happened with other people. But we spoke Japanese all day. And then I went to a boarding school, an international boarding school, but took Japanese there and so learned reading and writing as well as my speaking fluency.
Now, when you found quilt making, you ended up discovering the Japanese quilt makers. What was that like for you, having lived there and grown up in that culture?
Well, you know, I guess it's like anybody that grows up somewhere. When people ask you that, you think, well, I don't know. But I mean, I guess, you know, really, it was sort of having that Japanese sensibility. And, you know, I really discovered the quilt books after I started going to Japan on business trips. And I would stop into the bookstores and see what was new because I just love hobbies of all kinds. And so I ran into Yoko Saito's books originally there and had been buying them myself for years, just for myself, before I ever had any idea about starting such publications.
Tell me, you know, it's the culture of a Japanese instructor to their students is different than it is in the U.S. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I think that's a lot of what's key to sort of understanding their work at times.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, I've mentioned this in the foreword of the book as well. But what unlike Americans and myself, who I have a million hobbies, and I know a lot of people, you know, have hobbies over here, often in Japan, when somebody decides to take on a hobby, what they really do is they go and find a master or an expert that they can learn under. And so it might be French cooking, it might be flower arranging, or in this case, quilting. And they'll end up studying under that person really for many years. So rarely do you find a beginner, you know, go buy a book and then just start trying something on their own, because they really want to understand from the basics how to do things. And so that's really what you'll find in most books as well. Mm-hmm. Japanese hobby books, when you buy them, is they really aren't nearly as step by step as many mm-hmm. of the patterns or books you see here, nor are they always, you know, that, I would say, accessible, or sometimes they mm-hmm. intimidate real beginners mm-hmm. with their books.
So you're, you know, quilt making, and you're looking at these books, which, you know, like, I have them as well. You know, I'm collecting them. I'm reading them from the back to the front and looking at all the diagrams. And I know it's like a whole nother universe. I mean, literally, I got one of those books like the first 6 months I was quilting, because I had a friend, Gwen, who uh-huh. had already found them and had been a quilt maker. She's like, you got to have one of these. So right. when you saw Yoko's work, how did you decide, or, you know, how did it come about that you have this new partnership with her, publishing in English her books?
Yeah, well, you know, so I have had a number of careers in my life. I was an elementary school mm-hmm. teacher, a reading specialist, and then I kind of fell into software because of my Japanese ability. So I've been in the mm-hmm. high-tech software world for the past 20 or so years, and you know, I was constantly thinking, though, the last thing I wanted was to wake up when I was 70 and say, yay, I've been in software for 40 years. Not that I don't love this industry, but I really wanted something that would feed my passion. And mm-hmm. what I love beyond belief is fiber and fabric. And so I had been working on, you know, various business plans over the years. What could I do? And I even came up with an alpaca mill idea, because I ended up owning alpacas for one of my other hobbies, spinning and knitting and weaving. but at the end of the day, you know, none of those really panned out into what I could think would be a good business until really in 2010, when I started to look at this concept of Japanese quilting and what wasn't available here in English, and combining my own love of quilting with my skills in Japanese and then also my software background. And so that's really sort of, you know, what got me into this. And that's when I contacted Yoko Saito, because I love her books so much, and asked her, you know, if she'd be interested in having her books in the U.S.
And did it take a little while for that? I'm sure the other people may have approached her prior. Was, you know, did you have to work with her a long time, or was it sort of a bond that you two picked up?
Well, I think, interestingly, you know, I ended up finding her email and emailing her directly in Japanese, because mm-hmm. she doesn't speak mm-hmm. English. And so that automatically was, I think, an immediate toe in the door, or foot mm-hmm. in the door. And then I ended up meeting with her and her husband about a month later, when I was in Japan on a business trip, and they were willing to meet with me, and we started talking, and I said, I have this idea about distribution in the States. And as we finished this two-hour meeting, I realized that was not going to work, but, you know, they suggested, what about becoming a publisher? And so my entire business plan changed in those 2 hours, and they introduced me to, I know, right? Not to mention, I was on my way to Romania for work after this. I mean, it was a crazy time. But I sat down and reworked it all, and they sent me introductions to the right people, because it's all about who you know in Japan. And mm-hmm. I ended up working with these publishers. Now, it did take about a year to get the Japanese publishers to approve me, just because I was an unknown. I wasn't one of the big publishers. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, you know, some other big publishers had approached her. But, you know, they were publishers that she didn't know, and she was much more comfortable with my Japanese background as well. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of worked into a friendship. I see her two or three times a year. I stop by the shop. You know, I have six of her books out now, and I have two more mm-hmm. coming out within the next 6 months. I'm just really excited about how that all worked out.
Well, Priscilla, the books are beautiful. You've done just an amazing job. I'm sure she must be totally thrilled.
She does. You know, when the first time I took one of them over and I said, here's the sample, you know, it's going to be out in a month. And we were at her shop, and she opened them up, and she called some of the girls that work with her over. And she goes, oh, it's so kakoi, is this word in Japanese. It means it looks mm-hmm. so cool. Because, you know, she's just used to seeing Japanese. So kind of like when we look at, you know, Japanese characters or something, we think, oh, that's so cool. You know, she was doing mm-hmm. the same thing with English, but she does. She loves the books, and, We've come to an agreement on single patterns as well. So the market should be able to expect seeing single patterns from her that I'm going to do directly. She does custom design for her shop. So that should be coming out in the next year as well.
Now, your website is stitchpublications.com, and you have a newsletter and a blog so that people can come and find you and see the things, get on your list, your mailing list. Here we have like a wrap up about a minute and a half. Tell me about a little bit about the color book, because that one fascinates me personally.
Yeah. So out of all her books, you know, one of the ones that I think people might really enjoy and we've been selling really well is Yoko Saito's Japanese Taupe Color Theory. And I'm sure, you know, some of you have heard about Japanese taupes, but this was really a phrase that was coined by a lady in Japan who's an editor of one of the books, and in fact of this book. And the concept is really not just the color taupe as we know it, but it's really talking about colors. And, you know, the way I think about it and the way Yoko Saito sometimes says it too, as well, is take sort of tea colors that are warmer, gray colors that are cooler, and you take that concept and you kind of layer them over any color. So if you think about, you know, a pure color that you have, whether it's a pink or a red or a blue, if you poured in a little bit of milk or a little bit of white paint and it really just sort of softened that color so it wasn't quite so intense, that's really where you get the concept of these, whatever, you know, pink taupe or blue taupe. And then it's pulling those into color collections that I think really gives the sense of, a lot of times what you see, those soft muted colors that are all pulled together into something to make a project or a quilt. That's really what this book is about, and there's a whole color wheel on how to do it and many, many examples aside from projects and things. So it's a great book to start with if you really love Japanese taupe.
I think that the book is really well laid out. It's very, you know, interesting to see that put, you, because you have like samples, and I just love the whole way that you put it together, Priscilla. It's excellent.
Oh, thank you. Well, I try to keep true to what they did, but then, you know, help it along with little things that they don't understand. Being a quilter myself, it's easier, you know, to help write things in a way that I think people here will understand.
Well, Priscilla, this has been so amazing. I'm so happy to have you on. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was great talking to you.
We'll be right back.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To store a matching spool and bobbin together, thread both onto a long pipe cleaner and twist the pipe cleaner ends together.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am very excited because sometimes there is an event that happens that is just sort of extraordinary in the quilting world. And I'm really pleased to have astronaut Karen Nyberg here, who might be the first person to quilt in space. Hi, Karen. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. My pleasure.
Do you know if you're the first person to quilt in space? Is that accurate?
You know, probably. I know there are quilters who have gone to space, but whether or not they quilted in space, the one in particular that I know of flew on a space shuttle flight, and those are so fast and furious that I'm not sure she would have had time to quilt when she was
right
there.
So just some backstory first. How long have you been an astronaut?
I was selected as an astronaut in 2000, so 13 years.
Wow. And you've done how many actual space missions?
I've done two. I did one on the space shuttle in 2008, and then this one currently, the long duration on the space station.
And how long was that one, the one where you actually quilted, had a chance to quilt?
It was about 5.5 months. I launched on May 28th of this year and just returned a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that's a long time. You had a little downtime for stitching. Yeah. So when did you first start quilt making? What is your background there?
Well, I started sewing when I was very young. My mom sewed a lot. She also knits. And she taught me to sew. I showed interest in it very early. I was probably 6 or so when I was first sewing on her sewing machine, mm-hmm. and probably around 8 when I made my very first shirt, which I still have. And so I sewed a lot through high school. I made a lot of the clothes I wore. And, you know, when I went into college, I went on and off of having enough time to do much. My first quilt I probably made within the last 10 years or so, mm-hmm. And then have been, you know, making things when I get a chance ever since.
You know, it was so fascinating when that email came in my box that said, you have got to see this video, you know, that you know, of you quilting in space. What I'd like to find out sort of how that process happened. When did you think it up? When did you say, hey, you know, I think this would be neat to do a block in space?
Well, since we're there for long duration, you're there for weekends and you're living there. And so a lot of people like to have hobbies that they do in their spare time. There isn't even on the weekends a lot of spare time there, but there is some. And since sewing is such a big hobby of mine, I thought it would be fun to give it a try. And so I planned on bringing a few different pieces of fabric with me. Now, making a quilt block, I didn't know what I was going to do for the longest time. I'm just going to bring fabric. And I also had some plans of trying to use things that are already on board, mm-hmm. And sew with those as well. And I started making a quilt block. I brought 3 fat quarters, red, white, and blue fabric. And so one time I just started cutting it up and kind of designed as I went. And it turned into, a quilt block.
Now, did you take this project as like your personal gear, or was it something that you presented to, you know, the team or whatever to say, hey, I want to do this as like an experiment? How did it get classified?
This was definitely my personal. We are allowed personal allotment of things, and I brought some fabric up that was launched on the automated transfer vehicle. It's a European cargo vehicle, so that was launched on that, and I also launched some with me on the Soyuz. We are allowed 1.5 kilograms of personal things, and I brought some fabric in that 1.5 kilograms.
And so you
thread.
Have to like, yeah, weigh the fabric, weigh the thread. So now I love the video because it was fascinating. Those of us who don't, you know, have gravity, of course, we're not really thinking about the fact that you have to anchor everything down.
Right.
You've been up before, so you sort of had that. And of course, all your training, you know those things. But when you put the stuff together to work with, did you plan it on the ground first, or did you sort of do that once you got up there?
I did it once I got up there. I didn't do a lot of planning. I didn't really even think a lot about how I would do it. I think it would be easier if you had the right supplies. You know, it's always easier if you have the right supplies and the right equipment. And there probably is something you could devise for space sewing that would make it easier. But the hardest part was planning and cutting and measuring, because you just can't lay anything down. And so you don't realize how much you rely on doing that. Just to lay a piece of fabric down to measure it, because you know, and so that was very, very hard.
Now, because you were hand piecing this, were you drawing like the line around the shape so that you'd have a stitching line?
Well, what I decided to do was make it kind of an irregular pattern, so it didn't really matter. Each of the little three, I made it 9 3x3 blocks to end up with the 9x9, and each one then I just randomly cut fabric and sewed it together, and then I took my little 3x3 cutout cardboard and made that my 3.5x3.5 block from the pieces that I had sewn together.
Ah, okay. So that was easier for you then.
It was easier, yes.
Yeah. Because I was like, thinking, oh my gosh, you know, you don't have a hard surface. How are you going to do that? So when you are you a hand piecer here on Earth?
No, the only hand sewing I've done, you know, top stitching and some hand quilting, but actually piecing I've never done by hand. So
that was, again,
in and of itself was challenging for me.
Were you longing for your sewing machine while
I was, and an iron. I really wished I had an iron.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah.
Oh, irons. Yeah. So no irons in space.
No.
So, would a sewing machine work up there? I was like curious about that.
It would. I think the only thing that could be a challenge, you'd have to attach it to a surface, and we have a workbench that we use for doing a lot of the repairs of various things and scientific experiments, and you could bolt it to the workbench. I don't know how you would anchor yourself and, you know, to use the foot plate or the power, you know, for the power. I'm sure there's a way, but the sewing machine itself would certainly work.
Well, we can get you one of those machines where you just push the button and then
there you go.
Yeah. So we can take care of that for you. Now, we should have like quilt camp in space. We could all bring our machines
exactly.
up there. Yeah.
Sounds good.
So when did the idea come to you to invite, you know, the quilters of the world to make a star block to put together with yours?
Well, it was really the International Quilt Festival got involved in a lot of this. I wasn't even involved with our folks down here at NASA were working with them, and they kind of came up with the idea, and I had brought the idea to them that it would be nice to somehow get people involved, and then they came up with the idea that if you make this quilt block, which I had already started doing, so and it happened to be the right size, luckily, and because I'm not sure I was going to get to a second one. And so then they just kind of brought it all together, and I think it's such a neat idea. So hopefully there'll be a lot of involvement and get a lot of people excited.
I think it's an excellent idea. For those of you who want to get involved, you can go to quilts.com to their contest page, and you can make a 9.5 inch block, finished to 9 inch, to join Karen's block. They have to be in Texas by August 1st of 2014. Star blocks, lots of star blocks. You know, they're going to be like, you know, 800 quilts made now. It won't just be one.
Yeah, well, I guess I should have made more than one block then, so each of them could have a block from space.
That's right. Well, yours could be like the main quilt. We'll let you. So when you're, you know, in your regular world, your regular life, you know, you have a busy job, you have a family, a husband, you have a small child. How do you fit in sewing?
Well, I don't as much as I used to. I can honestly say that. Usually what happens is I come up with an idea of a gift I want to give somebody, and then I go and I buy the fabric. I spend my 2 hours at the fabric store, and I buy and I plan as I buy, which usually means I end up with way too much fabric. And then
true quilter.
And then, and then I go home, and I kind of go crazy with it. And usually I'm on a short deadline because I've planned too late, but it's a gift for somebody, so I have to get it done. So then I start working too late into the night. And so all of my quilting happens usually between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Oh, well, there you go. Right. Yeah, this is just the way we all work, Karen. It's our
good.
Community.
I'm not different.
No, you're not different. What does your workspace at home look like for sewing? Do you have a dedicated area, or are you sewing on the kitchen table?
Well, I'm in one of the spare bedrooms, so at least I'm not, you know, I don't have to mess up the entire house, but it's a spare bedroom, and I have dreams of a craft room that I've discussed with my husband for our next house. So, but right now it's just a spare bedroom, and I just use the floor in there, and then have my very small sewing table that I can use. So it's nothing spectacular, but it works for me for now.
Oh, it's nice to have that dedicated space, particularly since, you know, so your kid doesn't get into the things.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Not that part's not good. So I love that you have a Pinterest board. It is so exciting. I went out and took a look at it. Do you love
uh-huh.
Pinterest?
I love it. I started using it. I don't even know now, a couple of years ago, I guess. And it's just a neat way to keep, ideas together, and I've gone back now even to my holidays board to look at some Christmas decorations that I'd pinned, you know, a year or two ago, mm-hmm. and just to get some ideas as I'm getting ready for Christmas here. And then also I found it was a neat way to share some of the neat pictures I was able to take when I was in space, and hopefully, you know, spread the word of space travel a little bit to folks.
Oh, it's wonderful. I like the one for space hair, you know, that's it's a girl thing, right? You know,
yeah, exactly.
Right. And you have a quilt board and a craft board. Uh-huh. So that, and I love your tagline, astronaut by day, aspiring quilter, crafter, artist, runner by night, wife and mommy 24/7. That's awesome. That is just, I just love it. I know we're all going to be out there pinning away with you. Are you going to be able to visit your space block in October 2014?
I hope so. I really hope so. That's my tentative plan, and I don't think that there's anything else that I know of right now that'll be going on that will keep me from doing that. So I would love to do that.
Perfect. Well, I hope that I will be able to meet you in person at that.
That would be great.
Happens.
That would be great.
Well, Karen, thank you so much for coming on and talking about quilting in space. It's great.
My pleasure. It's one of my my favorite things. So I love space and quilting. We put those two together and life is good.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, have a great day, Karen.
All right. You do the same.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
This is American Patrick and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We'll be right back after the break.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patrick and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. Quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Set yourself up to stitch a little every day. When you finish stitching, before putting everything away, rethread your needle and take the first stitch. Then the next time you pull out your project, you'll be ready to sit down and start stitching. Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Babylock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patrick and Quilting Radio. It was immensely exciting for me to be able to interview Karen Nyberg and learn about her quilting in space and making the star blocks. It's just, you know, I could listen to that interview over and over again. It was so exciting to hear what that was like from her perspective. Now we're going to jump along and do something a little bit different with our thinking. I have editor Jennifer Keltner from American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine, and we are going to talk a little bit about New Year's. It's January, the beginning of the year. We've got goals, we've got different plans, and the magazine does too. So welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you, Pat. It's a tough job following an astronaut, but I'll give it a go.
I know. It's like, sorry.
That's right. I like to think my job is out of this world. So
right. Okay. You know, we you and I chat a little bit about, you know, beginning of the year. So many of us do different things to sort of kick off the year. And one of the things that I personally do is pick a word. I've done it since like 2006. Pick a word or a motto that I try to hold close to myself all year and sort of work on. And this year mine is balance. And you told me that you and the magazine do something similar. How were you handling the beginning of the year word?
Well, our word for the year in 2014 is create. And we're really focused all around creating a better life for ourselves and for our families and friends and also for our communities.
So when, you know, are you putting, like, did you make a sign? Are you, like, tattooing it on your arm? Are you doing anything to be sure you're
definitely
always remembering it?
Right. Everybody had to get the company tattoo, so that's been taken care of. But beyond that, we really set up our editorial calendar around our word of the year, and we try to sort of figure out how we can make the editorial that we do reflect what our word is. So for this year, for example, in American Patchwork and Quilting, we kicked off the word create by everybody making something that had that word on it. So you can see in the February 2014 issue, on the editor's page, you'll see lots of different signs made with the word create, one done with pegboard and yarn, another done with nail heads and string, and one done with license plate parts. So all kinds of different things, and those things are hanging in our offices now to remind us that we're really focused on creating this year. And really, that's such a huge part of what anything handmade is, whether it's quilting or any other hobby that people have. It's all about making and creating things that make your life better, whether it's for yourself or someone else.
You know, you can take that word and sort of live it on a daily basis, because I think a lot of people want to make, whether to create their space is more comforting or create better foods, but just create a quilt or parts of a quilt and a little bit of quilting every day, because it's hard to quilt every day, isn't it?
It's hard to fit the time in and to think that there's not something that's more important. And we try to always just instill in people that idea that, you know what, taking care of yourself by doing something creative every day, if that's what fuels your fire, if that's what gets you excited about the day, taking 10 or 15 minutes to create something, even if it's just a couple parts to a block or a row on a quilt, or just a few hand stitches, it can just be that thing that sort of centers you and makes you remember what it is that you love about this hobby and about this life that you lead and the things that you create.
Yeah, I went and got a necklace, Jennifer, and it actually came in the mail today. And so I put it on, and I'm thinking, you know, like, how many days can I wear this every day of the year? Do you think I can do that?
It's like, I think you can.
You think I can? Okay. So I might
do
that.
Or if not, you can create a new opportunity to get another necklace.
There you go. You have to get a create one to go with your words.
There you go. Find some balance.
Charms.
Yeah.
Yes. Balance to create. So when you're using this word, and I know the magazines are planned out, you know, before, you know, we hit January 1st. So how far back, I mean, were you planning your word for 2014, like last February?
Yes. So we'll start here in another month or so to make our plans for 2015. And that's why, I mean, the word that we pick isn't usually something that's about a trend that's going on or about something that's just current, you know, like selfie wouldn't be our word of the year because it's too trendy and everybody's taking them. But we try to pick a word that has more broad spectrum to it. And then we really do sit down and sort of plan out our issue. So, you know, in this year in February, we tried to create a better life for you and your friends. And so the editorial was focused around ways that you could encourage your friends or engage in quilting activities with your friends. So we did a quilt along and we did a round robin quilting exercise. We've got some other issues coming up this year where we want to focus on you and your family and about making gifts and quilted objects that you might share to celebrate special occasions in your family. So we really try to look at it from that perspective and see how we can live out that word throughout the year and make our editorial represent what we think is the best ideals of that word.
So let's talk about the challenges, because creating and challenges, you know, it all sort of blends together since we're doing quilt challenges.
Right.
Last year, your staff actually sewed during the week because you have your creative studio there at your offices and people went in and worked on a project. How did that go last year?
It was great, and it's something that we continue to do even into this year. And we call it our Project 48 Challenge, and it's 48 hours of quilting. And you quilt 1 hour a week at the office. And the challenge is this. You had to pick a project at the beginning of the year where you would work on that project here in our craft lab, and 1 hour a week. No more, no less. After the timer went off after an hour, you had to put the project away until next week. You couldn't take it home, and you couldn't work on it more than a week. And it was really just to sort of ignite that passion in us, because we work around quilting, and we work with quilting instructions and patterns and how-to and photography all day, every day. But it can be get challenging at times to fit quilting into our personal lives, because our professional lives are so much dedicated to it, that making something for yourself where you weren't on a deadline to create something for a wedding or a baby or someone else's something. And so the idea was that you'd be making something for yourself, something that you really wanted to do, and limiting it to an hour a week. What we have found with this challenge is that everybody to a person ends up quilting more, because it's sort of like priming the pump. You spend an hour on that project, and when you have to put it away, you think, oh, you know, I just want to quilt some more. And so we all go home and quilt more.
I think that's
fascinating. I would encourage you to take up the challenge.
Yes. Just do it 1 hour a week with the timer. I don't know, if you're at home, you don't need to use the timer, though. You can keep sewing, probably. Probably be okay.
Well, I think it's a good idea to use the timer, because it forces you to really get serious about that hour. I mean, you take care of everything you need to before you go in there for an hour. And then it's also the challenge, I think, of how much can I accomplish in this hour if I'm really focused on it? And it's amazing over the course of a year that people really can complete big projects. And most of us don't really think about how long it takes to make a quilt. You just sort of sew on it until you're done. And when you really have that focus of an hour a week, and you have we have 48 hours. We always say you get 4 weeks off for good behavior, or if you just can't make it. But every other week, everybody is sewing every week. And it's a great way for us to try out. We always ask people to choose a project that's really a challenge for you, something you've been wanting to do, that pattern maybe that you've had in your to-do pile but haven't gotten to because you thought you didn't have the time or, you know, the focus to try something different. So that's also a great way to try a project where you're limiting yourself to an hour, because you know, I'm doing one that's curved piecing, and it's not something that I want to sit down and do in a weekend. I don't want to curve piece 152 blocks, but, you know, I'm happy to do it for an hour a week and then set it aside. Right. And when it comes back around a week later, I'll do some more.
Did your staff, did the team finish their projects in 2013?
I would say about half of them chose a project that they could finish, and so then they'd start a new project, and about half of them are still working on it. But it's been really fun to see what they have coming up, and you'll see the results of more of it coming up on our blog at allpeoplequilt.com as people finish them and they post them.
Yeah, and the blog you can get at allpeoplequilt.com, and when you go on the nav bar where it says magazines and more, which is where the podcasts are, it also has the blog. So for those of you who haven't visited the blog there, that's what you do. So do you want to talk about trends a little bit, Jennifer? What do you see going on? Is there something new and interesting lately?
Well, I think there are a couple of trends that we see continuing, and our judge of often with these trends is either what we see coming from printed fabrics from the different fabric companies, or what we see in terms of submissions from designers. And those two trends, I would say, that continue to be really strong are anything with the hexagon shape, and whether it's actually piecing hexagons or putting hexagons onto things as appliques, the hexagon seems like a shape that's here to stay, as does the chevron pattern. You know, we see lots and lots of chevrons. And interestingly, I think, made in lots of different ways. You know, sometimes made with half-square triangles, sometimes made with flying geese, just all sorts of different methods for people putting them together and creative ways of making them in different widths and shape.
I think the chevron I still like the chevron a lot, even if I see it 100 times. Every time I see a chevron quilt, I'm still like, oh, I love that. And I think it's just that sort of motion, whatever it is, it's very appealing.
Right, and I think it's interesting, too, that it's rendered in so many different fabrics. You can see some that are very, very modern. You can see some that are more traditional that just have a richness to the palette that people have chosen. So I think that's interesting, too, because it doesn't have just one look to it. It can be traditional, it can be modern, it can be eclectic, it can be masculine or feminine, all based on the fabric choices that you have.
Yeah, and I think it's a good point that they could be masculine because I think it's hard to find sort of guy quilts, and I think that's an appealing, strong graphic that is great for a quilt for a guy. So what else is besides the fabric? Well, the shapes, the hexagons. So you're still seeing a lot of hexagons. That's really great.
We are
versatile.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Evaluate antique quilts individually before attempting to clean them. Improper cleaning can damage a quilt. If a quilt has sentimental or monetary value, consult an expert before cleaning it. Contact a quilt museum, university textile department, or antique quilt or textile collector for references. This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To keep your rotary cutter in great condition, follow these steps. Periodically remove the blade from the cutter and carefully wipe away any lint and residue. Take the cutter apart, one piece at a time, laying out the parts in order. Add one drop of sewing machine oil around the center of the blade before reassembling the cutter. High humidity can cause a rotary cutter blade to rust. To prevent this, store your rotary cutter in a cool, dry place.
What other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm going to continue talking with Jennifer Keltner from American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine. So, Jennifer, let's talk a little bit about those trends, a little bit more about the trends that we were talking about before the break. What kind of shapes,
sure,
other shapes do you see are coming in to you from the designers? Because like you said, you see all kinds of submissions that kind of gives you an idea of what people are interested in making.
Right. Dresden plate designs are enjoying a resurgence, I think. That was a very popular design in the 1930s, and they're sort of making a comeback with modern quilters and traditional quilters alike. We're also seeing more quilts made with a medallion center, where the design really starts at the center of the quilt and kind of works its way out and around from the center, as opposed to things just made with blocks and rows. And a continuing exploration, I think, into all sorts of interesting color combinations and a mix of bright, vibrant colors.
So what do you think about complicated quilts? Are you seeing more people submitting to you shapes and quilts that are going to take a little bit more time, let's say like a New York Beauty or a double wedding ring, that type of thing?
Yeah, I think that we do see some more complicated quilts, and I think it's really, back to your word of the year, a balancing act. I think people not only want the ease of having a project that they can complete sort of quick and easy, that they don't have to think too much about, and maybe they work on that while they're at a retreat with friends, or it's just a pastime project on a weekend. But I think people also are interested in the challenge of having a quilt where they have to learn something. Maybe they're learning foundation piecing or learning how to piece curves or do something a little bit more challenging that's not necessarily over in a flash, but can be something that they commit to learning something new.
Sort of like your curves that you're doing. You don't want to spend your whole entire weekend making curves, but a little bit at a time, experience it. Maybe add
right.
it in.
And there's that sense of accomplishment when you master it that you're like, you know what, I learned something new and I challenged myself.
You know, during this year, Nancy Mahoney, designer Nancy Mahoney, is going to join me every month, and we're going to take a little, like, sort of deep dive on a technique. And she's very technical. She's also an editor, besides a designer. And so we're going to explore different items. So I'm really excited about that for this, one of the goals for me for the show for 2014. You also talked about trends in fabric because you see, you know, being an editor of the magazine, you see probably every new piece of fabric produced, which I can't even imagine. That must be just exciting and crazy at the same
time. It's exciting and it's overwhelming at the same time. There are just so many beautiful fabrics that are made. And it is fun to see what, you know, what comes next. We've sort of been through, I think, in the past year, a lot of woodland creatures and seeing a lot of things with foxes and squirrels and raccoons and those sorts of things. And it'll be interesting to see, as we come into this new year, what the new motifs are and what there's a preponderance of in fabrics coming out.
Now, are you using Pinterest? You know, when I talked to Karen Nyberg, she uses Pinterest to record things that she likes so she can go back and see them again. Are you finding that when you're cruising Pinterest, you're seeing any sort of repinning that's helping you spot new things?
Absolutely. I mean, we're always looking for things, you know, both reaction to things that we pin on our Pinterest boards mm-hmm. and also seeing what is out there. An example of that, I would say, with the Hunger Games craze for that movie and for younger people is we are seeing a lot of quilts and projects made with arrows and feathers are another motif that we see a lot of. So sometimes we use it for looking for trends or spotting things, motifs that maybe will be up and coming and more popular in the future.
That's really interesting. Do you know the author of The Hunger Games went to my high school?
No, I had no idea. How exciting.
Yeah, and I went to a very, very tiny high school. So I think she was a grade or two below me, and so her brother was in my class. Yeah. It's like, oh.
2 degrees of separation.
Yes, exactly, exactly. She's probably not answering any Facebook requests from high school friends. So what are your personal goals, Jennifer, for quilt making for 2014?
I think personally my goal is to make a difference in the lives of the people in my community and the people that I care about in my life. I think the part of quilt making that I treasure the most is the opportunity to share what I love to do with the people that I love or the people whose lives I know could be made better by something that's handmade. So I've sort of reached the stage, I guess, in my quilt making where if I want a quilt for my house or, you know, a place in my house, I can make it, but I can make more quilts than I have space for. So now I've reached the point where I just like to make beautiful things that make me happy in the creation of them, but there's as much joy to me in the giving away of that quilt to a friend or to a family who's in need and who could use the comfort of a quilt to wrap around them. So more of the projects that I'm making are going to live other places with other people, and I love that. And I hope to do more of that in the coming year.
Yeah, quilt makers.
How about you?
How about me? Oh, you know, I have a couple that probably more than I should. It's always, you know, more goals. But I have a UFO issue, which you and I have talked about before, you know, like way mm-hmm. too many. And so I want to do something with those, whether they're finish them and give them away. I also need to document my quilts, because that hasn't been a good focus of mine. And so in order for me to give some of the way, I need to document them. And so I have a huge documentation project. And then, you know, basically I would also feel very strongly about giving a few more of my pieces away, because I've spent a lot of time making them for publication and I've not mm-hmm. had as much free time, you know, to make things to give to others. I like that idea of having sort of a focus.
Right. And the other goal I have for this year is to really slow down and to enjoy the time that I get to spend sewing or stitching. And to that end, one of the new columns that we have in 2014 in American Patchwork and Quilting is our back page column, and we call it Stitches to Savor. And it's some of those embroidery stitches. I mean, embroidery is another trend we see really strong this year in all sorts of forms, but people just picking up the needle and thread again and wanting to do some hand stitching or some projects they can take along with them. So Stitches to Savor will feature two embroidery stitches in every issue of American Patchwork and Quilting through October. So you'll learn 10 new stitches, or maybe some new-to-you stitches that are a little more complicated than your basic embroidery stitches. And then in December, at the end of the year, we'll incorporate all 10 of those stitches into a project. And designer Sue Spargo is helping us with that project. And I think people will be excited to maybe learn some new hand stitches that you can incorporate as embellishments in your quilts, or you know, wool embroidery projects, or even embroidery on tea towels, whatever kind of thing you like to do.
Oh my gosh, and Sue is amazing. Sue Spargo is just, she has a book on her stitches as well, which is really nice. But she's just, she is like my idol for different hand stitches. Just,
well, the texture really that she can create with, a needle and thread is just amazing. Mm-hmm. And so I think it'll be fun for our audience to get to experiment with some of those stitches. And another thing that we're going to add to that element is some videos that go along with each of the stitches. So if people can't envision it from the how-to instructions and the diagrams, if you're sort of a I've got to watch you do that to learn it kind of person, they'll also be able to find videos on those stitches at allpeoplequilt.com and another means for learning them.
Wonderful. Do you have one more sort of peek at a thing that we can look forward to in 2014 in the magazines? Something you can tell us?
Sure. Sure. In Quilts and More, which is our newsstand title that comes out four times a year, we've got a new column that we're introducing there. And it has to do, we call it Welcome Home. And it seems like everybody has that place, whether you live in a home or an apartment or, a small space, you have that sort of seasonal decor you want to put up, but you don't maybe have a quilt that fits that spot. So we've created a quilt series with a designer out of Utah who is operates under the name of Kimberbell Designs, and she's doing a small wall hanging piece for us that will be seasonal. So in every issue of Quilts and More in 2014, you'll get the pattern for a spring, summer, fall, and winter quilt that will all fit in the same place in your house. So if you make one and it fits that wall space by your front door or on your front door perfectly, you can trade it out once a season. And we think people will really enjoy changing that up.
Oh, I like that idea. Awesome. Awesome. One last thing I want to share with people, that the a little bit more of the details. Are you going to make a star block to send in to go with Karen Nyberg's block? It'll be like a gigantic quilt.
Absolutely.
It needs to be 9.5 inches square, unfinished. They're due by August 1st, and you can go to quilts.com, and on there go under the contest or entries page, and then you'll find how to make how to do this. It's called Astronomical Quilt Star Block Challenge, and there's an address to send it to in Texas. So do you have a block in mind, Jennifer, a star block? Do you have a favorite one?
I haven't picked out my favorite one yet, but there are lots of great star blocks to choose from. And if people are looking for star block patterns, they can also find plenty of them to choose from at allpeoplequilt.com.
Yep.
As
just
well,
put
if
it
they
in
don't
the
have one
box
in their personal stash.
That's
there
right.
You go.
Put it... Thank you for being here, Jennifer, and talking about what's going on for the coming year with our family of magazines at American Patchwork and Quilting.
I look forward to spending time with you always, Pat, and thank you. I hope you have fun finding balance this year, and I will definitely keep on creating.
Thank you. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Podcast, and we will be back next week with a new show. You can go find all of our prior shows at allpeoplequilt.com under the Magazines and More tab. And if you have any ideas or questions, you can email me at pat@patsloan.com, and I hope to talk to some of you in person this year when I'm out traveling and going to events.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks.